In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Given the length of time with everything that has taken place, both the reading of the gospel and the lengthy time for the announcements of this week, I don't intend to give a longer sermon. What I'd like to do is just to wrap up our considerations and thoughts that we've had all during the Lenten season as we reviewed the commandments of God, and then last Sunday, the commandments of the church, and wrap this whole thought together about these observance of these commandments, praying that these commandments, the study of the commandments, has been a source of grace for all of us, for you and for me in every way. For me in preparing the sermons for you, to just review the commandments again and try to share with you what seem to be the most important points for us to review of the commandments of God and of the commandments of the church. To help us, especially during this Lenten season, with the graces that come in that time, to work toward that conversion of soul, that very point that we said that we're working as a parish to accomplish this year, to change our thoughts, change our way of behavior, so it becomes more godlike and not as sinfully selfish. So this is all the points that we've made, and that way we can say that we made a good Lent. Our sorrow for sin, our determination to amend our lives, all comes through with that. But just as at the beginning of Lent, I talked about the spirit that we all need if we're going to not only reflect upon the commandments but be able to live them well, we come to that same thought back here at the end, our conclusion, to draw all this together. So that the reflection on the Ten Commandments will not just have come and gone with this Lenten season, but it'll be something that we can put into practice every day of our lives. And it's what we need to do for success in keeping these commandments. The Catechism, spiritual writers, even our Lord himself tells us, success in keeping the commandments, all of them, overcoming sin and temptation in our lives, is all based upon how genuine our love for God is. That's where it comes from. What I mean by genuine, I mean a fulfillment of everything that we were taught way back in the beginning. We talked about the beginning of Lent, about the first great commandment. If you remember, this doctor of the law came up to Jesus, tempting him, the evangelist says, asking him, which are the commandments of the law? What means to be observed? Jesus looked at him and said, you're a doctor of the law. You should know these. And so he knew. He knew it was in the minds of men. He knew this was a temptation. And he said, the commandments are these. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And the second is like to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do this, and thou shalt live. And the earnings says, but all these things I have done from my youth, I have followed these particular points. But maybe he didn't do them as well. This command that is there for all of us, to love God with every fiber of our being, with all of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. And the word there, all, is meaningful. It's in the Catechism, and it's the understanding here in the Gospels about what this first great commandment before God is, that all of us must follow. Everything that's in us must be dedicated to God. First and foremost, stop the selfishness of sin. There's a certain attractiveness to sin that some people, the reason why they continue to sin, there's a stimulation that comes into them in lying or stealing or sexual pleasures or whatever. There's a certain stimulation that comes in them. I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm going to do it now and then maybe run off to confession later on. Now, that's a love for self. And don't think at that particular point you can say, I love God, well, and also, I love myself sinfully in these areas. I don't care if I commit a mortal sin. Is that stimulation I get from it? I just have to have that. And love for God, well, yeah, I tell him I love him. Everybody knows that. I come for church, mumble a few prayers, do things like that. That's not proving that there's a love for God. The love for God is every fiber of our being, my entire heart. My love is not given over to worldly things, not given over to sinful pleasures. It's given to God. Everything I'm supposed to have is given and focused upon him. My soul, everything that's in me, my whole movements, what my soul does to inform me, to know things, and all these things there, everything is directed back to Almighty God. All my strength on the inside, I give to God. All the strength He has given me to accomplish certain duties through the day, I'm thankful to Him throughout the day for all that He has given me. And I'm constantly thankful to Him for everything. This is what it means to love Him with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. Everything about me is given over to Him. This is how we start to determine if I have a genuine love for God. Or have I mixed it in with an improper love for myself? And I put it in there so much that I fool myself. I can have these sexual stimulations going on that I want. And somehow still love God too. Remember a few Sundays back, I was talking to him and we put a point of reflection, an article, in something for you all to pick up about the wrong morality that's out there. And that one point of a wrong morality that's out there that basically says, well, you know, as long as you can say you still love God, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what kind of sin you think you've done. It's not a sin. If in the end of it all, you still love God, then it's not a sin at all. You don't have to worry about it. There is no sin. Boy, that modern morality is there, but it has penetrated so many people, and dangerously so penetrated people who say they love God and follow the Catholic traditions because they love Him that much. It has penetrated into them. Somehow they've been fooled by the same thing the modernists are teaching. And give way to that point. It truly is something that is sorrowful in every way. And this is what the people do. This is what happens when it comes time to observe the commandments of God or of the church. Well, before, you know, there's another part of this new morality that's out there. They talk about new idea of Christian maturity. They say that for people who aren't quite mature enough as Christians, well, they're the ones that do wrong things, and they're the ones who tell you they've sinned, and they truly do sin, they need to go to confession. But if we've matured enough, I would say I can mature. Anyway, if you've matured enough, well then, in that maturity, you found out you love God so much, you don't sin. You know, you may do the same actions you did before, but now you've matured and you understand things better. Dear God, these people. They've changed the morality among people. And I'm saying it's even being changed among Catholics. The modernists have brought it in. Whether it's the modern church or even among traditional Catholics, they brought this wrong morality in. And the love of God just disappears for love of self and the stimulation that comes from falling into mortal sin and not caring. Now, if we want to keep these commandments, as we should, then we have to have this genuine love for God that penetrates every fiber of our being. But don't just take it from me to explain to you why this is so important. It's so important because Jesus tells us Himself in the Gospels. He was speaking with His apostles at one time. They were talking about even the love of God or observing things or whatever else it might be. And He said to them, if you love Me, and you say you do, okay? You protest all these type of things. I love You, dear Lord. I do all these things. I'll do anything for You, whatever. If you love Me, keep My commandments. That's the proof for love of God. Words are easy. Words are cheap. Emotions have nothing to do with the true love of God. Actions, deeds, following His commandments, living by them completely. That's our proof. We put aside all those wrong ideas about morality. We're not here to get stimulated sinfully. What stimulates our hearts and souls is the peace that comes with loving God with every fiber of my being. And when I do that, the obedience to His commandments is so easy. And it's so filled with grace for me and strengthens me day by day in ways I could never imagine. This is what we are here to do. All the ceremonies of Holy Week, what comes up these next few days, are here for us as we follow them along day by day. If we do so in the spirit of faith, then we'll be able to grow in this love of God because we'll start to penetrate into my heart and soul. What has Jesus Christ done for me? And how little I have done to prove my love for him. He's done everything, even to the point of giving his life, shedding his blood, taking all my sins upon him. And even I won't acknowledge before him the sins that I have committed because I'm too attached to him. Gosh, how sorrowful that is. Love for God. This is what we need to do. I urge you to come. Come for the ceremonies of Holy Week. When you come, you'll leave with each one. If you assist at these ceremonies properly, you'll assist at each one, or you'll leave with each one with an increase of love and devotion to Almighty God. That substitution of selfishness out of ourselves so that we can love God with every fiber of our being will take place. The culmination of all these things for Holy Week takes place at the very end, just before the Mass for the Easter Vigil. It's a renewal of our baptismal promises. Once again, we stand before God, candle in hand, saying, I renounce Satan. I believe in God. I will live for him in every way. Having spent all Lent coming to this point for the conversion of heart and soul, this is the time we have a chance to speak it out in the church. What was said for us by our baptismal sponsors, we say now ourselves. I renounce Satan. I renounce all his pomps and works. I give myself to Almighty God. I believe. And that affects my entire life from this point on. Man, this is such a wonderful time. I hope that when God presents to you these opportunities for grace, these times to grow and love for him, and each one will help to strengthen the fibers of your being to love him in every way, I hope at that particular point, in every instance, every opportunity, you will say yes to him, to all this grace. Stop the selfishness. Stop the sin. Live for God in every way. I pray that that will be resolved for you and for me, so that together, we're as a parish, we're as a people, we're working to love God with all that we have, everything we can do, to prove that we are true children of God and really worthy of him in every way and thankful for all he has suffered for us. That's what this Holy Week can mean to each one of us if we use it well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.